Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. On Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast, we feature an in-depth Bible study each week. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Thursday, December 26, 2019, and the reading in the Word this week is Genesis chapter 41, starting at verse 1 through chapter 44, verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 15 through chapter 4, verse 1. And the New Testament portion is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter at hashtag WatchmanIS216 and also hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, it's hashtag Warn Radio. And you can join us on USA.life and also on MeWe, that's MeWe, at hashtag Warn Radio. You can listen to our shows on Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcasts, and also on Deezer. You can find our shows on our website at warn-usa.com in our posts for listening and downloads. And you can also get the Spreaker app on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. And this week we feature Christian persuasion, persistence, and perfection. Christian persuasion, a conversation on and about post-Christian era in America and the nations. Is the Christian era ending? This has been a topic of much discussion. In light of these end of days, there is a sure answer. There is a path to which Christians walk and a light to which they are to testify. This is the truth. Christianity is alive in spite of the rumors of its demise. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the center of what people believe. He is also alive and coming soon. And if you go to danaglennsmith.com, you can get a free ebook we're offering, House of Long Shadows. It is known as the generation that gave America away in the House of Long Shadows. We find an America whose house is filled with sin and rebellion. So you can go to Dana Glenn Smith to get that ebook, and also you can read the articles and pass them along to your friends by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And tonight on the show, it's part 30 of Isaiah's prophetic book, Burden of Ethiopia. In a time when major nations clash in war, we find Isaiah speaking directly to this end. Major nations of Egypt and Ethiopia, known as the land of whirring wings, are preparing for war. Assyria is overflowing and fears no one, not even the God of the Hebrews. However, soon to be is the judgment, which even Assyria never considered. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Behind.
Uh-oh. You'll catch up. I have faith.
Yeah, well, it has been a mess today. A pure stinking mess.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, it's because I'm behind because of Christmas. Bah humbug. That's about the whole situation.
It's still a great day. Thank God we could be here.
Well, you know, if it weren't for the Democrats and it weren't for America going to hell, if it weren't for them with all their abortions and wanting to kill babies on demand, and you have all the transgenders, homosexuals, lesbians, you have the Muslims that want to kill everybody, yeah, I guess it's a pretty good world to live in. But if anybody wants to be frank and honest and look around a little bit, we got right now Israel on the brink of war with who knows what all. And America
really?
Is building up, and we have got the most, the newest army and navy and everything because, Trump has built it up. Meanwhile, there is no kind of an agreement for nuclear weapons between Russia and America. We have got China, Iran, and Russia that are holding exercises or going to hold exercises. We have Iran plotting with Iraq and, wanting to join. So, and I say this because we're dealing with Isaiah. We've been talking about seven burdens, and we're going to be talking about the land beyond Abyssinia, which is another name for Ethiopia. And if you think it's bad today, you think you're troubled today, well, just think back and we're going to talk about it. But it is a mess today. And anybody with any sense that looks at it today knows that's what it is. And you're expected to have peace and hope in the middle of that. So what I'm trying to tell you, it isn't always easy to have hope. It isn't always easy to have peace. It isn't even always easy to have faith. We've got Christians scattered around the world today that are starving, in prison, being killed. They've lost loved ones. And you sit over here on your butt in the West, comfortable, and you think you're doing fine. Well, let me tell you, if you were sitting out on the plains of Nineveh right now, you would begin to wonder, because you have a lot of enemies, not to mention the fact Erdogan, who has sent his army and a bunch of his Muslim warriors to the one-tier Syria, where the Kurds were at, and they allowed others to be there in order to protect them from ISIS. Well, he's run them out with the help of Russia, and so now they're in the middle of a winter. They're freezing, starving. Of course, there's Samaritan's Purse and a few others over there. What I'm trying to tell you is it's perspective. Perspective. We're doing pretty good compared to what's happening overseas. And when we look at the seven burdens, and I can tell you people don't like to hear about these things. They don't like to get into it. But the bottom line of it is a stinking mess in the world. But yet, even in our stinking mess, we still live comfortably. We have one of the highest standards of living in America. Our particular country here in America that is led by Trump and is hated by the Democrats, we have one of the best economies worldwide right now at this point. And we know for a fact that, as the children of Trump go around and other ambassadors, other countries are telling them to tell Trump that, they really envy this economy and things like this. The economy is one of the best. So you think everything's wonderful in America. You think America is nice and righteous. Well, I got news for you. It's about time you get your head out of the nether regions and begin to find out what the frank truth is. And I'm here to bring it to you. And we're going to start in Ethiopia. So that's how I'm doing today. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm glad we can be here. I'm looking forward to this study on Ethiopia.
See, you know, like they said, if you're feeling good today and if you're happy, then you haven't understood the situation yet.
It's a great day in the Lord.
You know,
amen.
That's what they used to say. If you're smiling or happy now, you're either crazy or don't understand the situation. But, folks, it is true. You can have peace, you can have faith, and you can have hope with the Lord, even while you look out at the mess we see in the world. It doesn't do any good to ignore it. It doesn't do any good to say that it doesn't exist. That's lying to yourself. You're supposed to have peace in the midst of trouble. When we look at Noah, he didn't get delivered out in a big, fat, fancy, wonderful rapture and taken to Pluto or to heaven or whatever. No, he was given a boat full of animals that he had to feed. He had to clean up the poop, and he had to send a little bird out a window to see if it was okay to get out of the mess. It was one of the worst storms, worst deluges, and all of mankind except for his family was destroyed. Now tell me again, how bad is your day today? At least you're not in a boat out in the middle of the ocean with all of the world destroyed, living with a bunch of animals, taking care of them, feeding them, and cleaning up poop. I'll tell you, everybody says, you know, it didn't happen, but look at old Noah. When he got all done, God gave him a new place, and they were to replenish everything. But see, this is what we've been replenished now since the time of Noah. But we are living in the end days where men and women are doing things and nurturing sins, and they're wanting to kill their babies out of the womb, not to mention a lot of other stuff. We have liars in Congress. We have people that want to overturn your country and make it into something it was never intended to be. That's America today. You have a great economy. And many of you have jobs and you're doing good. Now, you have got to fight for what you have, and you've got to fight for the truth, because it's going to be taken away if you're not careful. You see, when we deal with these burdens and we look at what Isaiah does, Ethiopia and Egypt were the land of the whirring rings, and we'll get into that. But see, everything wasn't fine. Because one of the largest, meanest, fiercest warrior kingdoms was about to be unleashed. But what nobody knew was God was going to intervene. So, that's where we're at today. Now, if you've got guts, and if you've got courage, you can listen. But if you're lily-livered and you're afraid, then you better get back in prayer, because this is going to happen. There's things that are going to change, and there's people that want to bring your little quiet world to an end. And your only defense is the Lord. And I can tell you, you've got a secret weapon in America right now trying to help you out, keep your country. And if you ain't careful, that secret weapon might take a walk down the road. And I'm not talking about me. There is a secret weapon. So at any rate, we're going to go ahead with this.
Okay. I will see you on the other side.
Isaiah 18:1. Whoa. Now, you know, I don't really need an understanding of the word woe. When I say woe unto you, I mean, I can say woe to a horse, and that means stop. But this is woe, W-O-E. Many times when we look at it in Scripture, when we see woe, we mean trouble, beware. But in fact, this has an expression of compassion rather than anger. The prophet, when he was saying woe, wasn't relating anger, but compassion for what was going to happen. You know, it gets down to the point where you pray for an enemy that he'll be saved, and he never wants to turn to the Lord. And so you finally realize that if he don't repent, and there's a psalm to this particular thinking, the psalmist woke up and realized all those people that had been persecuting him were going to go to Sheol and die. They were going to no longer exist. And understanding came to him. Well, Isaiah, looking at this, and he's seen a lot of stuff, he says, woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. This region was known as Cush. Cush was the son of Ham, and his territory was in there. But it also refers to not just Ethiopia, but to Egypt. And many people look at this when they see a shadowing of wings, because whenever you're talking of great plagues of locusts and stuff, you can think in terms of Ethiopia and Egypt. Now, in Isaiah 7:18, we covered this, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. Now, the forces of Egypt and Ethiopia are called the land of whirring wings. Now, it's interesting to note when we talk about Assyria, and it makes you wonder if they're still like that. But Assyria threatened many nations, including Israel. And along the way, there was a lot of other nations that were threatened as well. And one of the major riverways was the Nile, and that's where all the trade went on. But one thing's interesting about it, they had the reed boats. Now, I've actually seen these things built because of the reeds had pockets of air in them. And so you could make a boat out of these reeds, and you would lash bundles of them together, you know, and you would form them along the bottom and up the sides and pull them all to a point and make a boat. And many of these forces would travel up and down the Nile, and that's what Egypt and Ethiopia would do. But the thing of it is, when we talk about Assyria and when we talk about a fighting kingdom, now you see Assyria, it was a kingdom of northern Mesopotamia. It was the center of one of the great, you could say greatest, but we get into Medo-Persia, but Assyria definitely were very, very fierce. And you can look in northern Iraq and southeastern Turkey, and that's pretty much where the trouble is right now. In northern Iraq, and also get over in Syria, you can find where the Kurdish empire places were. Now, it was actually the Assyrians who faced genocide at the hands of the Ottoman Empire quite a while ago. But during the second millennium BCE, that was before the Christian era, Assyria was a dependency of Babylon, and then later of another kingdom known as the Mitanni. But it emerged as an independent state in 14th century BCE, and then it became a major power in this region called Mesopotamia, Armenia, and sometimes in northern Syria. And that northern Syria is where we find the Kurds. It's also where you find Syria, and you get over in northern Iraq, you'll find Turkey up in there. And there's a region along that whole borderline that Erdogan wants to make as this 80 mile, I think it's 80 miles, going to be a safe zone where there nobody's going to be in it. He especially doesn't want the Kurds anywhere around because they're enemy of the Kurds. One of the reasons they're enemy of the Kurds is because they've tried to extinguish him and destroy him, and you can't destroy him. They are mean. Now, they're not mean on purpose, but even their women. Now, Tower can tell you about it. When we was covering the Kurds fighting ISIS, the women that had kids had them strapped to their back, and they would have a machine gun, an AK, you know, or something, and they were armed to the teeth. And there were brigades of women, whether they had a baby on their back or not, or children at their side, they would fight. That's the way they fought. And they learned to do that because they had to fight the Ottoman Empire in order to exist. So this is the kind of fighting. Now, it really goes back to another Anglo-Egyptian army that was really known as the Shabaka. And they were fierce, very, very fierce. Now, Assyrians were also known as a very, very fierce warrior tribe. So when they would come into an area, I mean, it was just like if you're in America, you know, and all of a sudden someone told you that somebody worse than Genghis Khan was coming in, and Genghis Khan was one of the worst, he would impale all of his enemies up on long, you know, spikes and hang them out to put terror into all those who wanted to resist him. And so when we get into some of the regions, you know, there in the 11th century, we hear of Tiglath-Pileser. But when you follow that, the Assyrian kings, when you go from the mid 8th to the late 7th century, there was very strong Assyrian kings. Now, you're going to recognize some of these. That's why I'm going to do it. It's not that you have to know this history, but part of this comes from Britannica.com. You can find it. This is common, and I wanted to do that to show you here how relevant this is, because you have strong Assyrian kings. You have Tiglath-Pileser III. Now, I mentioned the first, but that was a long time earlier. And remember, as you go, if you're at the 2000 BCE and then you get to the 700 BCE, 700 BCE is closer to the era of Christ, or zero, time zero, because everything is dated as after Christ and before Christ, or after death, AD as we know it. So there was Tiglath-Pileser III and then Sargon II. You probably have heard of Sargon. But then we have Sennacherib and Ir-Hashadon. Now, Ir-Hashadon was Sennacherib's son. Now, there was two others that actually assassinated him when the Lord God intervened and destroyed his army. See, this is where the hand of the Lord came in at. Now, in all of this, you have these kingdoms watching Assyria get powerful. They were already powerful, but they were really, really fierce warriors, famous for their cruelty and fighting. And of course, they were known as monumental builders, and that's where you find Asher, Nimrod, you've heard of Nimrod, or Nimrod, and Nineveh. All of those were great, great empires. Nineveh was just absolutely amazing. And of course, it was Nineveh that actually repented when Jonah was preaching to him. And there was a 70-year space, I think it was, that they had peace, and then it was destroyed again. And the prophets actually warned about the destruction of Nineveh. And so when we look at the 18:1, when he says, "Woe," that word woe is Cush, and that's where we call, where we see this as the prophecy of Cush, because the word is actually Cush in the Hebrew. And the same word is used in Isaiah 55:1. It was used in expressions of someone to come hear the word of God. And in Isaiah 17:10, it was used as the word woe to the multitude. So there's a lot of interesting things when we look about it. And of course, many people looked at it as well when we talk about the rivers of Ethiopia or the land of shadowing wings. It's referring to these two superpowers who were very, very fierce. They were fierce warriors. They weren't as big as some of the others, but they were formidable. And so for Assyria to come in and attack them, it would be a very vicious battle. Now, many believe that this whole thing suggests that this particular region was actually beyond the land where Assyria was really going to come in. They would have come in and extended themselves, but they were mainly going to hit that. But the other powers were getting ready. Ethiopia and Egypt were getting ready in case they had to repel them. And Isaiah 18:2, that's talking about these nations that sendeth ambassadors by the sea. This word sea refers to the Nile, even in vessels of bulrushes or reeds for boats. And this is what I was telling you. Now, this is in 18:2. We know this happens. I remember watching a segment of a particular survivalist, and he was found these bulrushes, and he was making boats out of them to float. And, you know, you can find a lot of things. You can use, cane as well. But these bulrushes, and it's interesting to note that Moses was put in a basket of bulrushes. So it's really funny how this comes into play. We find this same kind of thing. This is what Moses was put in, a little cradle of bulrushes, because all you had to do was tie them together and put whatever you wanted, and they were buoyant because they held the air within them, and they were real sturdy, and they could just float right on down the creek. That's what we call them, creek. You might call them a river, but at any rate, they would just flow right on down there. And that's how Moses wound up in the royal household. Well, this is the description of the land. They travel back and forth on these boats that were made of these reeds, and they grew by the shores in just tons of them grew. They were just popular. They were all over. And so they would get those and they would make them. They're really known for these. And it says, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the water, saying, go, you swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled. Now, this is another thing that's really, some translate this as tall and smooth face to a people from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. Now, see, Bullinger calls this the inhabitants of the Sudan. And, some others, Vine gets into this, seeing the destruction of Jude at the hands of the Gentile nations, meaning the rivers. But, the bottom line of it is that when Assyria was coming in, now the land they're talking about is over in Ethiopia. And of course the Sudan is over by there. And Egypt, there was a whole area in there where the rivers and various tributaries would spread out, and they would go in these reed boats. And it goes in verse 3, all you inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when he lifteth up an ensign on the mountains, when he blows a trumpet, hear ye. And whenever we think that we've got everything under control, or whenever someone in particular thinks they're just going to destroy everybody, which is, well, what Hitler was going to do, this is what various conquerors in our history all thought they were going to do. They were invincible. Hitler met his Waterloo about the same way that another one found their own Waterloo. You couldn't take Russia, because especially in the winter, it was formidable. So in Zechariah 12:1-3, it's interesting to note that when we look at the last days, the end of days, and Isaiah here is not looking at the end of days, but the target of Sennacherib is going to be Judah. And here in Zechariah 12:3, it says, three verses here, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, and this is one of the most popular, you probably heard of it, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. In that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Now that is yet to happen. Now Jerusalem has been sieged time and time again. And in the days of the Crusades, the Crusaders had it, and then, the Mahdi at that time, the Muslim warlord king, would take it, and they would go back and forth. And then when Allenby actually stopped the Ottomans, the Ottoman had influence over the whole area, and it was the UK who sent General Allenby in to break the hold of Turkey and the Ottoman Empire at that time. And of course, that led to Israel coming back into the land. And many people were expecting it to happen, but we always see this. Now, God is going to bring again all the people round about Jerusalem. This is one of the final battles that we have, and we've talked about these things. In the last chapter of Zechariah, you can see the ending picture of it. It's going to be quite a battle. But see, at this time, when Assyria, who was very, very fierce, was coming into the area, I mean, it's just like if you were in your country, whether you were in America, whether you were in Japan, or whether you were in Europe somewhere, when you had a fierce nation invading you, they would come in from one portion of it, killing and stealing and robbing and pillaging. And the people would be running ahead of them to get away from it. So it actually follows the line of Isaiah, fear, pit, and the snare. The fear would come and they would flee. And you would hear of the fear and how tough they were and what they were doing. And then as they drew closer, you could see all the dust and various other things from their vast armies. So that would cause it. And then you would have not only the first messengers who first came and told you, then you would have groups of people fleeing the cities with not much. And most of these armies would then pillage and rob and take cattle and anything else, goats and sheep, to feed the army. That's how they got through it. And then when they got to their final destination, they would surround it and they would lay siege to it. Now, see, we live in a modern era. We're not going to be laying siege, folks. They're just going to be blowing the living daylights out of it with nuclear weapons. That's the problem we have. It's not nice, to have somebody like Genghis Khan go through and lop off your heads or stick you on the spike like a frog. But, it's even worse, when the nuclears hit. And, we're not in this face-on-face war much anymore. We're in a war that when it's going to get tied up, they're just going to push a button. And so a lot of this has symbolic meaning. These people were sitting around, and in their era, this is the way they fought. And the ones that were the toughest, meanest, nastiest were coming into the way. And for Israel's part, and we've covered this, and I think Isaiah will get into that. I know Jeremiah talks about a lot of this. And eventually, it wasn't, of course, as you know, Sennacherib who destroyed Jerusalem. It was, in fact, given over to Babylon, the Chaldeans, to be able to do that. And then it was given over to the Persians to destroy the Chaldeans and take over and free the Jews and send them back home. And it's ironic because the Persians, who had Cyrus the king, to send the Jews back into Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple. They're the very ones sitting over in Iran right now that want to destroy the Jews. So it's just like history is really ironic. In the first case, they were the ones to actually free the Jews, and now they're going to be the ones to try to destroy the Jews. And of course, they've said, well, we don't hate the Jews. Well, whatever. So it's in God's own timing. That's the point. Whether it is in the time of Assyria or our time today. But if you look at it through the eyes that you all have, through the news that gets reported, and if you look at America even, righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And when that people take unrighteousness and makes it their foundation, that country, and I guarantee this, will not stand. When you have, like we have today, we have a house full of people that hate Trump. We have news media that hate him, and many of them report false stuff. And then you have a Senate that backs him. He has one of the world's best economy. He has the lowest unemployment rate. What do you have? Division. A divided house can't stand. Any way you look at it, you are treading a fine line here in history. And I'm telling you, in God's timing, things change, not only in judgment, but in deliverance as well. And see here, he lifts up an ensign on the mountains and he blows a trump, hear ye. Now, one thing when we talk about blowing a trumpet, Paul talks about the last trump. So we're not out of the whole thing when we talk about Trump. It's kind of funny. We talk about Trump's, the last Trump, but we've got a Trump in office. Is he a sign? No, he's just a guy, a businessman trying to make America great. Good luck with that one. Because you've got people that, it'd be a lot easier if you had people that liked you. But see, when you're digging up a swamp, a swamp of people that don't want to change, that can be. You see, people love darkness. The Lord said that. We have churches that even love darkness. The devil infiltrated the church a long time ago. Nevertheless, when the Lord gets ready to act, and even in the end of days, his banner over us, as the word says, is love. And in judgment, there is redemption. And here's a few other ones, Isaiah 10:16. And we've covered this already. Now, this talks about... when we talk about the Lord getting involved in these things, therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness. That's like a famine. And under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. Isaiah 10:16. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his holy one for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and briars in one day. That's, I call that the smelter of the Lord. A smelter. If you know anything about gold or any kind of metal, they got a smelter and get out the impurities. They used to do it by putting lye in it and a process where they would heat it up and the lye would adhere to the impurities and the gold would separate. Nevertheless, I'm not a smelterer, but... when you talk about it, even the Lord told the Laodicean church, I counsel you to buy me of gold tried in fire. That is the smelter of the Lord. I used to call this the smelter of the Lord in the land of the free when in my book D-Day for America that I wrote a long time ago. In Isaiah 10:18. Now these are all three verses. All three verses are talking about different examples of judgment, and shall consume the glory of his forest and the end of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. Yeah, well, when you have a standard bearer, you know, it's kind of like sending, I know during a couple of images of the Civil War, some of the big ones, you know, they have the one that lifts the flag. During World War II, they would have those that would, you know, you take a medic that would be out there. You know, it's not very nice to be out there in the middle of a field and bullets flying everywhere, and you just got a medic kit. Of course, if you get shot, you can try to patch yourself up. But see, the thing of it is that if you're going to war, you want to have something to fight back with. And so in verse 4, for so the Lord said unto me, I'll take my rest and I'll consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon the herbs, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. And of course, you know, there's no doubt about it. If you're going to have a harvest of herbs or plants, you need heat. And you need water, not to mention good soil. And if you have both of those, heat and water, you can wait for the harvest. And there's one thing about the Lord. He is a God of harvest, so he waits. So as the human instruments are lining up to fulfill prophecy, God waits. When it gets just right, then he acts. So here we're going to see a lot of things, and this is what we're talking about. The fact that you have a major power that's bolstering, getting ready to devour, and the Lord is waiting for the harvest. And see, when the final harvest comes, there's going to be a harvest of both good and evil, the sweet and the sour grapes in Revelation. So while we see the evil increasing, it's increasing for a reason. Because like Psalm 2, they're trying to break the bonds of everything God has declared and do it their own way. And everything's going to grow to the harvest. Meanwhile, the righteousness and those who come to the Lord are going to be harvested as well. So you have two harvests going on. And the Lord knows when he's going to end it all. We don't. So that's where you have faith and patience, and where you go to the Lord and you have prayer and you get faith. And you allow the Spirit of God to give you patience and hope. And then you go read the news and you see stuff going on around you. And all of a sudden the devil tells to you, may mention something to you. Your flesh may start to fear. And before you know it, you're back in the same boat. So you need to go straighten up the flesh again. Or maybe you don't pray and you just get worse. Well, see, everybody has a choice. See, because if anybody told you that salvation is free. See, you don't have to put in an initiation fee. You don't have to slip a quarter or $5 into the machine in order to be accepted with the badge to know the Lord. You can repent. You can come to him. Nothing. You know, it's free. He died for you. But it cost him his life and to go through Calvary. That's what it cost him. Even if he gives it to you, it's not free. He had to come, and prophecy had to be fulfilled. And all this stuff, oh, have the free gift. It's not a free gift. It costs somebody something. Even if I give you a gift, and to you it's free, but it costs. There's a cost behind it. And they say anything is worthwhile, there's going to be a cost. You want to be with him in heaven, there's going to be a cost. Christians in the Middle East are finding that out. Christians in Pakistan are finding that out. Asiya Bibi, who was in Pakistan, facing death penalty 9 years, found that out. There's a cost. Wang Yi and his church, which was one of the biggest in China, he had to pay a cost. It was free to accept, free to follow the Lord, but then there became a cost. And we sit on our fancy churches around the world and we think that's enough. That is not enough. You are living in the end days. And kingdoms around the world throughout all history had to face up to what was going on. My dad and my grandfather had to face up to World War II. Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to stop Hitler, and someone needed to stop Japan going through the islands in the South Pacific. And so you have Assyria, warriors. Somebody had to stop them. Ethiopia, Egypt, and other kingdoms were getting ready, but these fierce warriors. And they don't care about your wife. They don't care about your daughter or your son. They're warriors. They kill. They pillage. We found out what pillaging and killing and raping was like when we saw ISIS go through the Middle East. And we covered it every day, every week. And the things that went on. I mean, if I'd have been there and saw the person do what he had done, I would have shot him myself. A man holding up a little girl. He was smiling like he had bagged a deer. And she had a little dress on. She had her shoes and socks on. No head. And there was blood all over. And, of course, someone had to record it on the video. And he was holding her up because she was small enough, holding her straight out. That's ISIS. And they did that for their God. Now, what do you think if you had a whole army of ISIS coming through America? Do you think they give one pittance what you think? No. Don't be deceived by the people you see up here in this country. Because underneath, there's a seed of destruction. There are people in this country that are working to destroy everything you have in America, just like they've worked to destroy everything in Europe and in the UK. The socialists will tell you we can all live together. Perfect socialism, perfect communism. I know I studied it when I was in school. That's one thing our teachers taught us to do. We had civics, we had government, we had history. We knew what went on. Today they don't teach any of that stuff that I know of. But one day there's going to be a harvest of the righteous of the wicked, and there's times I say, oh God, hurry. Because God, if you don't hurry, there's not going to be anybody left. But as Kylan DeLeese says, Jehovah will allow to develop itself so prosperously under favorable circumstances and without any interposition on his part until he suddenly and violently puts an end to the whole. See, he will sit there. And he will wait for it. And when it's time, it's too late. In verse 6, it says, and they shall be left together under the fowls of the mountain and of the beasts of the earth. And the fowls of summer are upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. You see, that's what happens when God suddenly moves. And we have this same thing. The fowls of the air. And let's see, Revelation 19, 13 through 8. This is the whole thing. You know this well if you've ever read it. He was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, who do you think the armies are? It's going to be the believers, because in the final moment before he comes, they're all going to be gathered unto him. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the wine press of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is where it is. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Now see, if you think this kind of destruction, where dead bodies are going to be all over the field, is going to be over, you're wrong. You think that we in the modern world are too sophisticated. We have too much knowledge. We're a lot more righteous than these others were. No, we're not more righteous. The fact of it is, it's called sin. So make no mistake, the Assyrians, I read you the names of their kings. The last two in there was Sennacherib, who's leading the Assyrians now, and the one that follows is his son, Ir-Shaddan. But these Assyrians come through here, and I got news for you, they're not going to be the power. Because Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, is the one. Now see, in the nations of men, this is the way it works. And so, we've got a lot of things that we're going to be covering in this. We're going to be talking about how this kind of a scenario works here. And we're also going to be talking about the coming of the Lord. Because, folks, when the Lord comes again, it does describe in Revelation that he comes to destroy those who have destroyed the earth. In the Gospels, it says, unless the days are shortened, no flesh will be left alive. Now, that sounds like a slaughter, doesn't it? And when you get these great mighty armies that start going through, that's exactly what it is. It's a slaughter. But one of the things they're going to have a help with, and that is with nuclear weapons. At no time in the history of mankind have we faced the ultimate perspective of being totally obliterated on this earth as we have right now. Iran is persistent in getting a nuclear weapon. Israel themselves, there was another article out today describing about how bad this next war is going to be on Israel. I've been talking about it for 2 years. They've been talking about this, the heads in Israel, for a long time, 2 years about that I know of. Jerry Golden, I quoted time and time again what he said about it. So while you're sitting here comfortable, remember the scripture says, when they shall say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction come upon you. That's a prophecy in the New Testament. That's why it's important for you to understand today. Living in America does not guarantee you a way out. You are the big boy on the block. And with Trump making history with all the economy and the unemployment, there is a warning here. I remember David Wilkerson saying that before God sends judgment, he sends a level of prosperity as a final sign. The bottom line of it is that I hope and pray that this kind of a cataclysm is way, way off. It doesn't have to occur in my lifetime or my kids or my grandkids. But as I see the wickedness and the deceit and what we're teaching our children and what they're believing, this is absolutely devastating. But one day, God will move when you least expect it. Even the Lord warned us to watch. Because if you don't watch, he will come on you unexpectedly. Make no mistake. This has been the burden of Ethiopia and Egypt. Their burden was Assyrian judgment. And they had little understanding of what that whole area known as Cush would really be like. Because along the way, before they got to Jerusalem, they did make a havoc of Israel and that area around there and outgoing areas. It wasn't until they got there, Hezekiah was king, that this whole thing went down. Father, we thank your word. Bless your word to the hearts of your people in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and streaming of this word. Okay, Tower. And next week will be part 31. And we'll have a little bit on this, and then we'll be in chapter 19. So are you with us?
Oh, can you hear me? Hello?
Now I can. Hello?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
I turned you on, and then when you turned you on, you turned you off. So.
Yeah, I did. Oh, well. Here I am. Doesn't sound fun, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't. I mean, you know, if you're having a bad day, I mean, this bad day is a great day compared to what's coming.
Yeah. But
nothing like a good apocalypse to make you feel good about yourself today.
Yeah, but we can still have hope and peace. Peace the world can't give us. We get that through Jesus Christ. So we need not fear. We need to trust in the Lord and look to him.
There is that peace.
Yes.
We're going to have to get out
situations.
Of here.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. And we always hope the best for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you richly. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.